Hello and welcome back to Talking Europe. It's a ritual that happens every 5 years, but also a test for two of the EU's key institutions. Once all the EU Commission's new members have been designated, they go through confirmation hearings before the European Parliament. It's a chance for the Parliament to flex its muscles vis-à-vis the EU executive, and getting through these grillings isn't a foregone conclusion. Last time, in 2019, three Commissioner designates were initially rejected. We're going to talk about the process and any particularly problematic candidates this time with my guests. I've got three MEPs here. Charles Goerens for Renew Europe is an MEP from Luxembourg. Welcome to you, Charles. We're also here with Paolo Borchia, an Italian MEP with Patriots for Europe. Hello to you.
Thank you for introduction.
And Brando Benifei, also Italian and a member of the Socialists and Democrats. Hello to you.
Thank you.
And we've got a great spread of different committees between the three of you that will actually hear these candidates. Charles Goerens, you're a real veteran of the Parliament. This is, I think, your sixth time in as an MEP.
Indeed,
right.
It is.
Yeah. So, what do you look for in these hearings? What do you expect to hear from what do you want to hear from these designates?
Well, I expect that the European Union can still make progress, given the fact that we are in a very difficult situation inside the European Union, and also as far as the position of the European Union in the world is concerned, we have a lot to do, and we have to achieve all our goals with institutions which are, to say the least, not complete and not effective enough. That's the reason why this period of 5 years ahead is a very important one, and it will be a real stress test for our institutional system. Mm.
And Brando Benifei, so when you look at the letters that the designates have written, so they've been asked these questions, they provided quite long written answers, around 16 pages. They all, of course, commit to European values and so forth. What are you going to be looking from them that goes beyond these sort of expected phrases about being committed to the European project?
It will be crucial that the MEPs use the time we have to ask questions to the commissioners designate to actually ask for more detailed commitments on specific issues like implementation of laws that were approved in the previous mandate, how they will be implemented. We think of the Green Deal and the digital legislation and decisions regarding protection of the single market. That we have different issues where we need to see if the Commission wants to continue or change course, and how to implement what has been already decided. And
so
also, what will be proposed as new initiatives. We need not to be accepting generic statements, but we will need to go deep into clear issues where we need a yes or no.
Yeah. Paolo, to ask you about the Italian commissioner designate Raffaele Fitto from Brothers of Italy. Of course, he's not from the same party as you in Italy.
Yes, yes.
But you think he's a good choice, though?
Well, I think he has a good curriculum. He has two or three experiences as minister of the Italian Republic. I think he's doing quite well in the implementation of the Italian version of Next Generation. He was really appreciated as a member of the European Parliament. So I think that in general, he's a very good profile. I have the impression that he is appreciated by his former colleagues. So I think that he has everything necessary for conducting very good hearings.
He's, of course, I should have said, nominated for cohesion and reforms, which is a very important portfolio. Brando, just your reaction to that. Is Raffaele Fitto a good candidate? And is he going to have an easy time or difficult time, do you think, in the hearings?
Well, we work together quite well in the Parliament, it's true. However, I have a very, very bad opinion of his work as a minister. I think he didn't do a good proof. And in fact, he will have to deal again with what he has been not doing well as a minister, so the cohesion funds management and also the Next Generation EU, the recovery plan for our country, and he will deal with similar issues. So we will grill him very hard to understand if he is able to follow the European program that we voted in July, because his party and also the colleague from the Patriots Party, they voted against the program of von der Leyen in July. So we need to know if Fitto thinks he can be on another page or he follows the political program that we have given the support to von der Leyen for, because otherwise it will be a problem for the final vote on the Commission.
He certainly is trying to be on another page, if you read his letter, which I've actually done in detail. But just to come back to Charles Gurens, another commissioner designate who's been said to be a little bit problematic this time is the Hungarian Oliver Varhelyi, who's now going to be in charge of health and animal welfare if he passes. Is he problematic?
Well, as far as his competencies are concerned, he has rather technical departments to handle with over the next 5 years. But when it comes to his commitments to the European values, it will not be very easy for him, because people expect from him that he is crystal clear when it comes to defend European values. In principle, he must stick to European well-functioning European Union, embedded in an institutional system that sanctions any violations to fundamental values. I hope in his interest, personal interest, that it will be very outspoken on this, and that will be a real test for him.
Mm. Paolo Borghese, so there are two commissioners who are supposed to work very closely together, the French designate Stéphane Séjourné and the Spanish designate Teresa Ribera. And some people have raised questions about how well they know the very broad briefs that they have to carry. What are your thoughts on both of them?
Well, frankly speaking, I don't have any prejudice on every single candidate. We'll have the opportunity to quiz them with hearings and to acknowledge about their experience, the knowledge of the topics of their portfolio. In general, if I can have a previous assessment, I'd like to say that concerning Mrs. Ribera, I think that we don't need a new Timmermans. So it means that we would like to have discontinuity respect to the last commission. I read that she is a skeptic on nuclear energy, for example, and well, my country has experiencing quite high price of energy. We are working hard for developing renewable energies, but on the other hand, we should have some backup sources like nuclear, for example. That's why if she is not very open to nuclear, I think it will be hard for me to give her my support.
Brenner, your thoughts on that, on her stance, or Teresa Ribera's stance on nuclear energy, could that be a problem?
I think Teresa Ribera is pushing for renewables is going in the interest of our countries. In fact, as it was already said, if I look at Italy, we are late on developing enough renewables that will help us get cheaper energy prices. So I think we need to go on in this direction. And I think that the idea of a clean industrial deal is something I support. I insist that we have given this mandate to von der Leyen to have a pro-European team, and we will check all of them if they are able to deliver based on these values that I think are at the basis of how Europe should work in the future. That means also equality, solidarity, respect of the rule of law, but also going on with the transitions on green and digital.
And Charles Gurens, you were telling me before we started the show that you actually think this whole process has to be reformed, and that the hearings should be based on a new coalition, a new council based on the, as you put it, the pro-European forces in the European Parliament.
Well, to be crystal clear, we have two blocks in the European Parliament in this mandate. We have a block composed on EPP, Socialists, Renew, Liberals, and in a certain sense the Greens. And this block has a clear majority in our Parliament. We have a so-called coalition, but to make a coalition handable, you need a system, a well-functioning system, giving an interpretation when it comes to questioning how the rules must be applied. And in this sense, we have a lot to do in order to be more credible. We have only an experience since the last July, and already two or three accidents, if I may express in this way. We have seen that the EPP, together with the Patriots for Europe, tabled a draft resolution on Venezuela. There was nothing to criticize on the content of this, but the behavior, to be an ally with this, is the opposite of a well-functioning coalition based on values.
We're running out of time. Just a final point on that, Paola, from you, about this EPP, Patriots Corporation, which the centrists don't like.
Well, I think the current composition of this parliament was decided by electors. And then I think that every single political group should take it into account and respecting the voluntary of electors. So I think that actually, if we have a look to the hemicycle, we see that there is a center-right wing majority. And so for me, it's quite hard to understand why a center-right political group as EPP is having a majority with left-wing groups.
OK, we'll have to stop there because I think that does open up a potential other debate, which we can have another time. But for this particular episode, let's end it. And thanks, Paolo Borchia,
Thank
Brando
Benifei,
and Charles Guérin. Thanks for watching.